So our scripture lesson today is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, when the crowd was pressing on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So I told Anita that this was going to be about discipleship when I gave her the notes maybe a month ago or so. But I changed my mind in between. And so I really called this message "The Will to Continue." So I want to describe there a little bit. Normally, the Sea of Gennesaret, however, I've pronounced it 32 different times every time I've tried to say this, the Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee, it's all the same lake. They're just called by different things depending on who's talking about them. It's about 13 miles long. It's 8 miles across. You can see across it. It's fed in the north from the Jordan River. And the first time we crossed the Jordan River, and our guy told us it was really high, it was about as wide as that table. And when it came out the other end, and so when we talk about the mighty Jordan, remember we're in a desert, the White River is much bigger than the Jordan. It's probably, in Muncie, the White River is probably twice as big. Closer to like Prairie Creek, where it's a little smaller, that's probably the size of the Jordan River when it's coming out from the south. And so we learn some new things here. Jesus is preaching outside, which was very, very, very unusual, because you would normally go to the synagogue and preach. This is probably kind of a notice that things are going to be different, because pretty soon he is not going to be allowed in the synagogues, because the religious leaders are not going to allow him to do that. And so this is the beginning of that, speaking to people out in the opening. So when I've read this scripture before, until I was in Israel, I had a really hard time so I'm a visual person. When I read something, I have to picture what it looks like to me. And so when they talk about these nets, and I don't know why, I was always thinking of where someone takes a single fish out of with a net, or when you go, if you're out on the East Coast or on the big lakes, when they have fishing boats and they have these huge nets on the side. But that's not really what any of these nets look like. They're maybe 10 foot square, and they have weighted balls at the end of them. And the way they work is you throw them out, you kind of like frisbee them out would be the best way. They frisbee them out, and they land on the lake flat, and then the way those balls are weighted, they will close at the bottom. And there's a rope at the top of the net, so you can pull the net out, and those balls will stay together, and so whatever fish get caught in the net, when it closes, that's how many fish you get out. Now, we were in Israel, it was a pretty big boat. There was about 200 of us on the boat crossing the lake, and in the middle, they have a couple guys throw these nets out on both sides of the boat, and everybody's watching to see if any fish are in it when they bring it up. And at least on my trip across, they threw them in twice, and they weren't over on catching fish. But I just wanted to describe those nets. And so those nets in the story are so full, they can barely get them out. And when we were there, they had found a boat in the mud because they'd had a drought. And probably the size of the boat they were in wouldn't be much longer than the pew. It's about that size, and maybe 4 feet across and 3 feet deep. And so not a really big boat, but they had so much fish it was causing the boat to capsize, to fill up. Now when we were there, there's a restaurant called St. Peter's Fish, and that's where everybody goes to have fish from the Sea of Galilee. And Cindy Osgood, who some of you know, she was kind of our leader on this trip. And she said, hey, we're going to go to St. Peter's Fish to eat fish on the day we're at the Sea of Galilee. But I just want to give you a heads up. It's the whole fish. Okay? So if it bothers you, I'm just giving you a heads up. It's the whole fish. Literally, the head was up. But the whole fish is there. And so we were in four different buses, but on that day they asked us to sit with different people so you would get to meet people that you didn't particularly see all the time. And so most people did that. And the couple that was across from Benita and I think that was the only time I ever saw them. But Benita got fish, I got fish, he orders fish, she orders fish. So we're sitting there talking, and they bring the fish, and the fish covers the plate from left to right and overhangs a little bit. But again, the whole fish is there, from tail to eyeballs, and he's looking at you. She looks at her husband and says, I can't eat that. And he said, why? And she said, it's the whole fish. And he said, that was the picture in the menu, and that's the way it comes. She goes, I can't eat it. He said, well, just order something else then. So she looks around, and a lot of people have the fish because people are willing to try it. So she tells the server, I need two napkins, two extra napkins. So he says, okay. So he comes back with two napkins. So she takes one napkin and covers his head. She takes the other napkin and covers his tail, and she ate what's in the middle. But that gives you a kind of an idea of what the size of the fish is. And so when you know the fish are as big as they want to catch, that's the ones they're getting out of the lake. And so you can say that this was a miracle that Jesus had him catch all the fish. But we can learn stuff from that miracle. And so even today, that water is really clear. And you can see fish in it. Now, apparently, they could also see the net because we didn't catch any. But you can see how clear the water is. And so one of the things that we learned from this is Jesus was really looking and paying attention. I've talked before about the difference between listening and hearing. Well, sometimes we see and we look aren't always the same. Because we look at stuff and we go, oh yeah. And sometimes we see, and so we know that something needs to be done. Somebody needs help. I'm pretty sure when my neighbor drove by and saw me trying, so I have a little battery powered electric snow shovel, and it's pretty good on snow for about 3 to 4 inches. I only had 7 inches of snow at my house in southern Yorktown, but it was struggling a little bit to get the snow out. And the battery was already starting to die from the first time, so we knew we were going to have to go in and get warm and have hot chocolate. I was not very distressed about any of those things, but coming back out for another hour to finish wasn't quite as exciting. But my neighbor stopped because he saw it was going to be a while, and he, in like 2 minutes, just took his truck with the plow blade and just pulled it off the driveway. And other people had gone by with the blade, and I live on a street with 14 houses, so literally at least we see each other periodically, but no one else stopped that day, but he did. And so did no one else take the time to look and go, man, it's going to be there forever? Or were they just not paying attention? And so part of this is, do we have eyes that see? When we see somebody that needs something, do we come forward to help them, or are we not really paying attention and we never notice them? Sometimes we can learn about effort. Because here's what the guys that have been on the boat all day, here's what they're saying to Jesus. We've been on this boat all day. We have not caught a single fish. It's late. We're tired. We want to go home. We're done. We are done fishing. We're absolutely, positively done. We don't want to be out here anymore. And if it's summertime, which we don't really know what time of year it is, it's hot there. And they've been out in the sun all day. And what he says to them is, you know what? If you guys just throw it over the side one more time, it's all going to work out for you. And so finally, they try. And so how many times in our lives do we give up? Do we go, oh, this is hard. I don't want to do this anymore. It's too much trouble. I don't want to. So when Sawyer and I went fishing in the fall, I'd had all the fishing I could stand. He'd caught like 10 fish. He was pretty excited. It's getting dark. It's getting cold. And I said, hey, I think it's time to go home. And he says to me, so this is a perfect story, I just want to throw out one more time. Okay? And so by now, later in the day, he's able to do it. He doesn't have a Mickey Mouse pole. His is Spider-Man. But he takes a Spider-Man pole. He throws it out. The bobber hits the water, and those fish were really biting. It was on the, it couldn't have been on there for 5 seconds. Bang, that bobber goes down. He catches the fish. He reels it in, and they were all bluegill, little bluegill. But this one was about, this isn't a fish story either. Well, it's sort of a fish story. But it was about this big, and it was clearly the biggest one we caught all day. And he said, oh, Grandpa, I'm glad I did that because I caught the biggest fish today. Well, he did. And so I was willing to leave, but he goes, just one more time. He probably could have one more timed me a couple more times, but it was getting cold. I think even he was getting cold. And so do we quit too soon? Do we give up? And then we also can learn from this. Are we not willing to try when things seem hopeless? Because we just aren't willing to give the effort. We aren't willing to give the effort. And so for us, almost every Sunday, we talk about and pray for an end to the violence that we see around us. And it's everywhere. It's not just in big cities. It's in every place. And so how can we individually change a life to keep somebody from being angry like that? From harming somebody else? From thinking that's okay to harm somebody else? To be angry with somebody, and we talk, I don't know about you guys, but I talk about this a lot, being angry over electronic media, where they'll say something to somebody that you would never say in person because you wouldn't. But when you're typing it on a computer or on your phone, it's easy to do. And so are we willing to take the effort to try to change the world? Or do we just say, well, it's hopeless. I can't do anything. Well, maybe not you individually, but with God's help, anything is possible. So are you willing to keep trying? So then I think this might be the most important thing that you can learn in this lesson. When Jesus says, go ahead and try this one more time. And you can tell there's some whining about, you know, we're tired, we want to go home. We've done this all day, blah, blah, blah. But part of it is, well, the sun's too low, the sun's too high. It's the waves are too wavy. The net's not big enough. The boat's too small, the boat's too big. We tried this before and it didn't work. We've been trying this all day and it didn't work. Sometimes before we'll try something, we want the circumstances to be like perfect. Well, yeah, I'm willing to do this, but I want this and this and this and this and this to happen first. Well, sometimes you're just supposed to try. The circumstances don't have to be perfect. It's okay just to try. And so for us, if you take this to more of a personal discipleship, if you're thinking, you know what, I think I'm supposed to say something to somebody here, I think this is the right time, don't let yourself get talked into, well, a better time would be if somebody else was here, or a better time would be if we were in a different spot, or a better time would be whatever. If you feel God's leading you to do that, that must be the time. It doesn't have to be the perfect time. It doesn't have to be the exact time. The most perfect time in the whole entire world, it has to be the time that God is leading you to do that. And so whether we're talking about doing something different in the church, if you're talking about making a change in your life, that you're going to read the Bible a different way, you're going to study, you're going to try to become closer to the Lord, don't say, well, yeah, but first of all, I want to do this, 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 and this. Because all those things don't have to happen all the time. Sometimes it's about effort. How good of effort can I make? How is God leading me? And is the time now? But don't overthink it. Sometimes you just have to try. So as we start communion today, one of the things I'd like for you guys to think about as you come forward is, How is God leading you in your life to do whatever it is God's leading you to do? And are you saying, well, no, I'm not going to try that because everything's not perfect the way I want it to be? Because sometimes you're just supposed to try. And you know what? The worst thing that'll happen is if you try and it doesn't work, it didn't work. And you'll have another chance later to try again. So if you try something once and it doesn't work, remember it's okay to try again. Because it's not a failure, it just didn't work that time. Okay? So let's begin communion today. The Lord is with us at all times. We lift our hearts up to Him every chance we get. And we're not limited to just Sundays at church, because we can do that each and every day. And we can do it any place we are, whether we're in our home, whether we're in our car, whether at work, and we just need a moment of peace. Let the Lord bring that to you. It is right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, You always remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to our sovereign God, spoke to us through Your prophets in the past, and continue to do so now. And so with Your people on earth and Your company of heaven, we praise Your name. Holy, holy, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed Him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, whether physically captive or captive to sin, to recover sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, to save Your people, to heal the sick, feed the hungry, and You ate with sinners. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant in water and the Spirit. When the Lord ascended, He promised to be with us always in the power of Your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He broke bread, gave thanks to it, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body given for all of us. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to You, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of My new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so in remembrance of these, Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered this day and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the world, the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Pour out Your Spirit with each of us, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that's with us always, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful we could come together this day. Let us take Your love and grace out into Your world and share it with all those that we come in contact with. Let us not wait for that perfect time, that perfect situation, but allow us to be led by Your Holy Spirit to do as You so guide us. Amen.